the prohibitions and interpretations. Let's look at the major ones. Upon consensus, are you fine with 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. as the new silent time? Except for like emergency response and those other items such listed. So 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. would become the new quiet time in the region of Queens.
So it used to be 12?
It used to be 12 until
6. 12 until 6.
12 until 6.
So is that?
So now it's 11 to 7. Anyone have a problem with 11 to 7? So then it talks about the prescribed time. Okay, so let's go to the fixed extensions. So this is what it doesn't apply to. It won't apply to emergency response personnel. Everyone fine with that?
Yep.
Yes.
Or it doesn't apply to people acting for emergency response personnel carrying out their emergencies. Does not apply to any organizational, traditional, festive, religious holiday or activity, such as Canada Day, New Year's Eve, religious holidays. So it only lists those two. Canada Day, New Year's Eve, for religious holidays. Fine. The omission of bells, churches ringing bells, fine with that?
Mm-hmm.
Any noises that government may cause in carrying out their duties, such as snow plowing, state of emergency things, so the bylaw does not apply to any levels of government who are doing their organized duties. It does not apply to noises with organized athletic or recreational activities in municipal or public park areas, arenas, or community centers. Fine with that.
Was that ball games?
That would be in a, yep,
okay,
in a municipal park.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not on a private, but only on municipal or public park areas, but which would be considered schools and community organization playgrounds would be public. Noises from parades, organized scheduled events, parades, street dances, rallies, community activities, funded, sponsored, or licensed by the municipality or federal or provincial governments. Notice it says sponsored or licensed by the municipality or federal or provincial governments, so it would be all legal gatherings. Councillor Charlton.
So to clarify, if someone wanted to host a wedding at a community center, if all you Seaside Center as an example, because I've been to weddings before there, if there was a tent in behind there, they were having a wedding there, are they to be quiet after 11 p.m.?
Yes.
So.
Correct?
No.
No, because they're a community facility.
They're exempt.
That would be, but is that sponsored or licensed by the municipality?
No, but it would be noise, it'd be section 4, noise in connection with
the wedding.
Municipal, public park areas, arenas, or community center. That would be a community center.
Okay,
so they'd be exempt.
Right. So, yeah. Audible pedestrian signals, a refrigeration unit, if the refrigeration truck is parked on the property of its commercial assessed business, would be exempt.
What does that mean, assessed?
So,
sitting up in Milton by the bridge.
No.
So they can't set a refrigeration truck there anymore?
No. And that just had no parking signs posted today by the province.
Not if someone complains that it's unreasonably affecting their quiet enjoyment of their property, it would not be allowed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But this exemption says if it's on your commercial property and you're offended, it's still legal. Because
yep.
We're assuming the commercial property would be far enough away from residential areas that it wouldn't affect an adjacent property.
So like Sobeys or...
Exactly.
Any fishing boats, disembarking, embarking on wharves, they leave sometimes 4 in the morning or earlier, they would become exempt. Noises from operation of off-highway vehicles at designated sites during designated times, established for that purpose by the municipality or other government authority as properties that permit off-highway vehicle use.
I have a question about that. So does that mean that if somebody wanted to use their side-by-side or their four-wheeler to plow, say, in a snowstorm, they can't do it until 7 o'clock?
It says, if you look at the activities prescribed in number 9, it says other than snow removal. So you can do snow removal through the daytime only, right? So that, in answer to, if I wanted to get off at 2 o'clock in the morning,
well, I'm thinking a
and
lot
plow
of people.
My driveway.
I'm thinking a lot of people, you know, some people have to be to work for 6 o'clock or so. Can they still remove snow like 5 or 6 o'clock?
That's the other section. So
it says under exempt 9, other than.
Yeah, no, if you go to Schedule A, though,
right,
the activities that are prescribed at all times.
Under 9.
So other than item 9, other than snow removal at 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., which means snow removal could happen, take place before 7 a.m.
It can? Okay. Okay.
Exemption would be industrial operations, as long as that activity is within the reasonable scope of the industrial operation. So for example, if there's a sawmill that operates 24 hours a day, that's what it does, it will continue to operate 24 hours a day making noise.
Mm-hmm.
If industrial operation comes to Queens, sets up an industrial zone, and their business requires them to operate through the nighttime hours, they would become exempt, because that's when their operations take place. Number 11, the exemptions would be construction equipment used by residents or contractors for construction activities on lands which permits have been received and are in effect. And that's the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. time period, Deputy Mayor Muse, which you brought to our attention.
Yes, so if that was changed to 9 p.m.
I think that
9
makes,
p.m.?
That, I think that makes sense.
Yes.
That's one that you would, so consensus is 9 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Personal generators that are without power due to a power interruption or during construction activities. For example, often people will start construction, they may not have their power hooked up, so they go run to the generator. Fine with that. And the fine, 5, and of course, this will be based upon the province. If the province decides that this is fine, they're the ones that decide whether or not the fines can be what are stated. So the minimum would be $500 for infraction of the bylaw and no more than $10,000. Imprisonment of not more than 60 days in default of payment thereof. Fine?
I think that's pretty standard.
Okay. And then, okay, so then we look at the Schedule A.
If we just go back to number 7.
Any person or corporation contravening Section 3 is given notice of the contract. Oh, right, and then they may pay the municipality at the place specified in the notice a sum of $350. Within 14 days of the date of the notice, and shall therefore avoid prosecution.
So what this says is after this gets, if we agree to this, it has to go to the province, which you'll see in the report, takes typically 9 to 12 to 15 months to be prescribed. We can issue a summary offense ticket for it, which means we can issue a ticket immediately to the person. If we do that, then this is the question is, what do you want that fine to be to not force somebody to go to court and appear before a judge? What's the penalty you want to tandem. So this is recommending $350, and then once we add, once the province adds on court costs and victim surcharge, it's probably around $415, $425 is what the actual ticket, the fine would be. Is that acceptable to council? We would get $350, the court would get the difference for their own charges, but the actual out-of-court settlement, that someone wouldn't have to go to court in this particular case, would be $415 to $425, I believe.
Yes. So these Schedule A lists things that you cannot do unless noted. So, in example one, you cannot run a combustion engine or pneumatic device without a defective exhaust or intake muffling device in good working order and in constant operation. That is throughout 24-hour day. Fine with that? I have a question. How would that stand in court? Who defines good working order and an effective exhaust?
There would be standards. So if you buy a car, there's a standard for your muffler. That's an industry standard. And so if you modify it or you change it, or you take pieces off it so it's louder, then that would be a modified, and that would be a pretty reasonable assumption. There may be some odd cases where it's very hard to prove, but in most cases, if the neighbor is complaining, it's probably pretty reasonable that the person is modified something or it's unreasonable. Noise level that's over and above what normally would you expect in your neighborhood.
Two, the operation of a vehicle or vehicle with a trailer resulting in banging, clanking, squealing, and other sounds due to an improperly secured load or equipment or inadequate maintenance.
How
so
you
have a vehicle that is not functioning, maybe your exhaust has gone off, and your counselor.
I think this should be eliminated completely. I mean, with our roads, how are we going to have utility trailers and things not banging? And so I think number two should be eliminated.
Councilor Charlton?
I agree with her.
Consensus, take out number two. Anyone who disagree? Line through two. Operation of a motor vehicle horn or warning device except for required or authorized by law or in accordance with good safety practices. Traditionally, weddings. Remember when weddings used to always blow their horns?
I'm not in favor of this thing.
Pardon?
I'm not in favor of this.
You want to leave the vehicle horn? You want to leave number three? Councilor Charlton has said she's not in favor of this. Councilor Brown?
I think if we take that out, then it allows people to sit there and honk their horns and annoy their neighbors if they want to.
Other comments? One.
Was it in there before?
The past bylaw had nothing like this in it at all. The
past bylaw had nothing.
At all. Did they have any decimal reading in the other bylaw?
No.
Nothing.
Pardon me?
In the decimal reading, like, was there a certain decimal you weren't allowed to have noises?
There are a few that are decibels, but I haven't found anybody yet that's enforced or given a ticket for a decibel ever because it's near impossible.
Yeah.
Actually, the RCMP gave cases of a gust of wind affects the numbers. You can't affect it. A gust of wind comes along or a car drives by or a vehicle drives by, it affects the numbers. And
so
there's no standard that says 55 decibels or 65 decibels is unreasonable noise. That's the challenging court, that you, if you rely just on decibels, there's no standards to apply.
And then it's, you have to buy a decibel meter, supply one, we'd have to supply them to the RCMP and by law enforcement, have to calibrate them.
Okay.
And a good lawyer would get you off because it's safe. Just a wind thing. They just have to prove a weakness. So what about number three? I see One no.
I don't think it should.
Two no.
I wouldn't see it taken out.
Three. Deputy Mews? Yes or no?
No.
No, maintenance majority plus consensus. So the detonation of explosive devices not used in construction or quarrying. This therefore eliminates all fireworks except for those on Canada Day, New Year's Day. This eliminates, this is what this would be. They are explosive devices, are they not?
Yep.
Yep.
So this would eliminate personal use fireworks and firecrackers. Councilor Charlton.
This would not apply to places such as like White Point that do fireworks for weddings, or would that? Would.
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would indeed. They they currently do not do fireworks, except for New Year's Eve and Canada Day.
Just thinking of the past, I feel like that's been a part of some of their weddings. But
not anymore.
Okay.
I'm really in favor of this because we're having so many people staying at the Airbnbs at Hunts Point, Somerville, Port Platoon, and they think it's a great to have a bunch of fireworks on a Saturday night. I think this is going to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do them all summer when there's fire bans on.
Yeah.
People complain constantly that it scares their dogs.
So we're going to keep that as an out, except for Canada Day, New Year's Eve.
Right.
Yep.
That would provide an exemption, correct? Or would it not? Because it doesn't, when it says 5C2, this bylaw shall not apply, notwithstanding any provisions, to emission of noise in connection with organized traditional but the Schedule A then become notwithstanding any provision. Schedule A a provision, is it not?
That's right. So 5C1 would allow them to have fireworks on Canada Day, New Year's Eve, other religious holidays.
Right. But that's it. So then 4 can stay, understanding that this does allow for fireworks on New Year's Day in Canada.
Yep.
Yes?
What are the on New Year's Day?
That's true, it's not Canada Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it says emission of sound in connection with any organized traditional festive for religious activity. So it would be a traditional festival.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll leave the fireworks outlawed, except for those dates.
Councillor Charlton has her hand.
Oh, yes.
I'm just wondering, in Schedule A, if we could not just say the detonation of explosive devices such as fireworks for easy reading for people that may be uncertain.
Abbreviations of fireworks.
Such as IE? Yep, that can be.
Yeah.
Or clear.
Good clarification.
Yep. 5, so our combustion machine that is used or intended for use in a model or replica, such as a replica airplane, etc., which has no function other than amusement, other than South Shore Regional Airport. It was brought to our attention that sometimes the model plane, explain that, Councilor Brown, at the airport.
The South Shore Flying Club has a model flying group that has fly-ins from groups all across Atlantic Canada, and they bring in model airplanes that have gas engines, jets, things like that. So they do fly them at the airport. It's far away from homes, but we were not looking to block that use.
So if you have a material, if you have something that has a combustion machine in it, and and is only intended for amusement, it's not allowed unless they're model airplanes at the Soshore Regional Airport. So what would be an example of a combustor?
So are we talking about folks who build these small airplanes and fly them in various communities and various fields, or we're asking those?
Yeah.
Unless this, they take them to the Soshore Regional Airport.
Well, is it boats and stuff, up and down the river?
Yeah.
The model ones and some of the IRC radio control ones are, yes, you can see.
Well, there's drones as well, so I'm just wondering. Like, for example, Kenny Vino has a drone, we get beautiful photos from him, is this asking that, is that a part of that, or is it?
Not combustion.
That's the film, that's an electric one.
Okay.
But there are.
Not a boat.
Lots of people.
Yes, there are boats.
People have these things for.
A little problem because some of the guys have little boats and they run with whippersnappers, so is that gonna say they can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
It would.
Oh, I have a big problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
They have little boat models and they put them in path leak.
It's remote control boats.
And they run with whippersnappers.
Yeah.
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 Because if that's going next to it, recognizing if it's next to somebody's house, then that's essentially disrupting their reasonable enjoyment of their property. So these are complaint based. So somebody's out in the middle of Path Lake when there's no houses around, there's no one to complain. But if you're doing it in a residential area on the water, then the complaint comes in. This is suggesting that would be an unreasonable noise if somebody's running those combustion engines next to your house on the water on a regular basis. That would be a reasonable complaint based on this policy.
I think the idea.
How is that any different than if someone was just do the same thing in their large boat? It's just, this is including all of that?
Yeah.
No, this is a toy or model.
Toy or model.
Yep.
But that can create a lot of noise, but then if I have a Sea-Doo and I want to terrorize you at your house or your cottage, I can. But I can't with that? I'm just confused.
I know. We don't have
fresh
water. We have not yet ever.
Boats,
so when
the larger boats have a more commercial use than toy or amusement. You might say a Sea-Doo does, but a Sea-Doo, it's the same thing. If somebody's running a Sea-Doo by your house on a regular basis, this is saying there's an ability to stop that. If we take it out, then if people are running Sea-Doos by your house and making noise nonstop, 24 hours a day, then they can go ahead and do that.
Councilor Romero?
I would like to take it out because you're talking about the noise of a power saw versus the noise of a remote control boat. There's no comparison.
Consensus, remove it?
Yeah.
Or put a time period on.
So then if you're putting a time period on it, it gets moved from activities prescribed at all times to what it does not apply to. If you're putting a time period on it. I guess we can leave a time period on there. Remove it or put a time period on it. Everyone's, who does that stuff after dark? It's always during daylight hours.
Mm. Yeah.
Remove it or leave it.
That's right. I think we should remove it.
Remove it or leave it.
Probably safe to remove it.
I think this kind of goes back to the possibility of micromanaging. If someone
exactly.
really wants to aggravate their neighbor,
right.
then they can't do this, because this gets removed, then they're going to get their power saw. I mean, we're talking about neighbors not being along.
Yep.
So they're going to look for something they can
we which is why this whole thing is in front of us.
I'm in favor of removing that as well.
Agreed.
Remove it?
Yes.
So the persistent barking and howling, we already have a bylaw of dog bylaws?
We do, but the RCMP are not going to enforce the dog bylaw for that. If you want the RCMP to enforce this, it should be in the noise bylaw.
So we move it to the noise bylaw?
I think we should leave it.
I have a question. If they wouldn't enforce it in one bylaw, why will they enforce it in another?
Long story.
We haven't got all this.
We got a long document here. So leave it?
Yep.
Yep.
So then, you can't run your motor vehicle or any engine for longer than 5 minutes unless the manufacturer tells you that you're supposed to. That is the basic function of the equipment, such as a concrete dump truck or scissor jack things that make noises as they work. Or if the weather conditions mean that you need to run your refrigerating systems longer, if it's really cold outdoors and you want to run your car for 10 minutes to get it warm in the morning, or if it's idling for the purpose of cleaning or flushing out reds. Councillor Charlton.
I'd like to see this removed.
Remove it?
Yes.
Consensus? Yep. Yep. Seven's gone. If you were using construction equipment in a residential area, it basically says you must have good muffling device, because otherwise it says you're prohibited to use that piece of construction equipment in a residential area if it without effective muffling.
What is that?
So if it has good muffling, you can use it. Operation of any item of construction equipment in a residential area without. Councilor Charlton?
Are there standards for construction equipment now that stands? I'm not very familiar with that, so I'm just wondering, are we putting above like things that would need to be added to this equipment that's not standard, like your
system, or? I'm like you, I do not know what construction equipment
for clarity has muffling. Once this goes out for first reading, it has to come back for a second one. So folks who have the expertise of that could put their concerns forward if it didn't make sense.
Yes. Essentially, this is saying if you modify something you purchased,
okay,
take off the muffler like a car, take off a muffler like a hot chainsaw, some of those things, then that would be illegal because you're modifying it for some purpose that it wasn't manufactured for, and it becomes much louder.
Okay. Number 9, that's where it says other than snow removal. So between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., you can only do power tools for domestic purposes, lawn mowing, gardening, home renovation, cutting, sawing wood, and done for reasonable domestic silviculture purposes. Those items can only be done between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. So if you're going to saw wood, mow your lawn, do anything that gardens that take power tools, remember this is domestic, you can only do that between 7 and 9. Councilor Romero.
I think we should change that time actually and at least put it till 10.
And your reasoning for 10?
Well, it's still daylight in the mid of summer, and there's still people want to mow their lawns when it's cooler. And I find this is too early, 9 o'clock.
Comment?
I agree with that.
Councilor Charlton?
I agree.
So 7 a.m. and 10 p.m.?
Yep.
You're not concerned about mowing grass in the dark?
Well, I mean, 9:30 in the mid of summer, it's not dark.
But this
dawn
isn't just summer, this is...
I know.
Dawn to dusk?
Yeah.
I mow the ball field. It's best to mow at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Under
lights.
Yeah. I'm fine, just remember, people may be mowing things in the dark, and who knows, so...
Oh, I know people that mow in the dark all the time.
I don't think I mow in the dark.
I do, I mow.
No.
Couldn't this just align with quiet time of 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.? No, there's going to be very few people along their walk on that lane.
There's people doing some culture, 6 o'clock.
There's other things.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Sounds boring.
Most silviculturing is probably not done near a house, though.
Yeah.
Is it?
Go look on the line.
My next door neighbor mows at 6 o'clock in the morning, right?
So you want the time changed?
Till 10.
What do you want, what, 7? But then you're approaching back in your bylaw, but...
7 to 10.
7?
7, yeah.
7 to 10? Yelling, shouting, hooting, singing, playing musical instruments that be deemed unreasonable noise disturbing the peace and quiet of a neighborhood. Counselor Charlton.
Like to see this one go.
Explanation?
I just think it's micromanaging, and again, if your neighbor doesn't like you, they'll find another reason to annoy you.
Okay, any other opinions? Keep it, remove it?
Remove.
One counselor wants it removed?
Yep.
Counselor Merrill wants it removed?
95% of our complaints would be based on this clause, so 95% of our complaints would not be enforceable, if that's what you're asking for.
Counselor Charlton?
I don't think it's enforceable, though, anyway, I mean, when we first had this conversation about putting these bylaws in place, the emphasis really was about the decibel, and which has been proven that we can't enforce that either. So again, I don't understand how our bylaw officer would be able to enforce this. I don't see it possible, I guess.
I thought most of the complaints was because it was after 11 o'clock. The noise, so we put down from 11 till 7 on that?
No, the letters we received of complaint, particularly in Central Queens, they stopped playing the loud music at 11:59, because the current one is 12 midnight.
Yeah.
And so this will still allow them to play 24 hours a day, blast the loud music at the property line of their neighbor, without any repercussions from us. This is saying that would no longer be allowed. Which I think the noise stuff for music and things is typically, like I said, like 95% of the complaints, that's the complaint relates to this clause.
So you have a place like Hibernia, and they like to play music and stay up quite late at night. So if one person doesn't think it's right?
A neighbor?
Person staying there complains, they gotta shut it down?
They wouldn't be considered an adjoining property. I think the Hibernia campground would be a property. It would be my interpretation. But a cabin could be the complainer.
But who would deem it unreasonable?
The courts. So if somebody complained, and we had somebody would investigate, they would go visit the site, if they were able to. They determine whether it's unreasonable, they go visit the property owner, determine what the noise level was, determine it's unreasonable. If it was the RCMP, they would say, sorry. It might not be convenient right now because you're trying to sleep, or you have a young family, whatever it might be, but they would say, no, we're not willing to take press charges or to issue a ticket for that particular issue. So the RCMP would do that. Now, if the RCMP said, yes, we will, then it goes to the courts, and then the courts determine whether that's unreasonable invasion of that person's privacy or that person's peace and quiet. The court then determines whether that was inappropriate.
Counselor Charlton, you still wish to see it removed?
I get the concern of, I guess, the music is too loud between certain properties during the daytime as well. And I feel for those people that are complaining. I just, back to Councilor Ramiro's, it just seems like it's still going to be very difficult to enforce a lot. I don't think that like yelling, shouting, hooting, things like that need to be in there. I don't know. This is a tough one.
But recognizing those would have to be extreme cases, if it's people yelling, and it's for a few minutes or something, because it's a fight or something, they wouldn't obviously issue a ticket for that. But if people, you've got 100 people or 50 people on a property all yelling and screaming for an hour or 2 hours on end, that's where the tickets would be issued. So recognizing 99% of the people, this isn't going to apply to because they're going to be good neighbors. This is to apply to those oddballs, those unique situations where people look for a loophole, look for a way around being able to do things they don't want to do because they can't get along with neighbors.
So these are rare cases that you would say where people are being tormented?
I mean, if you look at the number of cases we actually prosecute or take to court, it might be one or two a year.
And it could be just as people's different lifestyles, where some people love to maybe party on a Friday and Saturday night, and some people want to go to bed early, and the kids, and or they have to work because they're shift workers or something. You know, you got to be able to keep it to a moderate, to moderate it.
So the proposed bylaw now says you can't play the loud music between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Right.
So this proposal is, if it's loud and obnoxious to the neighbors, you can't do that any time of the day.
Yes.
And it only takes one neighbor to deem the whole neighborhood in complaint.
And so if you take it out, you're still okay
from
11 p.m. to 7 a.m., just outside that time, that we would be able to take any action.
It also only takes one neighbor to disrupt the peace of an entire neighborhood and make it impossible for a whole neighborhood to enjoy their properties.
Could we leave it in?
Leave it in.
System, a television set, a display, a tape deck, radio, record player, Bluetooth speakers, or anything. If your sound from that equipment is audible beyond the bounds of your property, it is prohibited. And again, the same argument is probably going to be brought forward, that this is only in cases of rare incidences, when it's deemed unreasonable, et cetera.
How do you describe audible?
Audible is anything you can hear.
I know, but I mean, you can hear music somewhere.
Councilor Charlton?
So this could be reasonable if your properties are fairly far away, but if you live in town,
yeah,
like I do, and I have like six houses nested beside me, then this is micromanaging, and I'm not okay with that.
If your neighbor doesn't like you, they could complain.
Yeah. No.
Or they don't like music.
You've also got people that work shift work who, if their neighbor's playing music loud through the day, if we take this out, then they only get to sleep between 11 and 7, and maybe they want to sleep through the day. It's everybody has the right to enjoy their property.
Yes, I agree. Everybody does have the right to enjoy their property,
yeah,
but this is some of their enjoyment as well. I think a lot of people have problems with this one, and I'm not for this one. I'd like to take this one out.
Two out, one in,
I think we just need to, describe more audible, not just audible because you can hear it, it has to be just disturbing, something in that nature, because it's, I know right now, even over in Milton, we've got some, I've heard of some people who will turn up, and I've already had people call me saying that somebody bothering them because they turn up the music and they're doing it on purpose. Well, how do you do that, you know? There's nothing we have in our... So...
Well, your
not just audible, it's gotta be something with it.
Audible would be, being operated is deemed unreasonable and disturbing the peace and quiet of the neighborhood.
Use the same reasonable explanation as we did in 10.
Counselor Charlton?
I'd just like to speak on the comment of shift worker. My husband is a shift worker, and he sleeps with earplugs. And I think that's just the way of the world with shift workers. I mean, I grew up, my dad's a shift worker. He wanted to sleep and not be disturbed, he put in earplugs.
What are we gonna do about it? It's there, number 11.
I don't like it.
Take it out, Counselor Fox says. Counselor Brooks says take it out.
I do.
Not. Check. Counselor Fancy says no. It's getting down to... Is it gonna use?
Leave it in.
Leave it in.
Leave it in.
One, two, three, one, two. I'm not supposed to rule on these things.
3-3, you're deciding the vote.
You're the decider.
You are.
I'm gonna remove it and explain to you why later.
Didn't four of us not? Are four of us to remove it?
She's gonna remove it.
There is now the mayor vote.
Jack said no.
So Carl said anything?
Ralph said take it out.
So there are four of us already that said take it out?
No.
3.
3.
Kevin said deputy mayor Muse said leave it.
And those 3 said leave it, so...
She just said take it out.
She did.
Didn't we?
Well, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna say leave it for now.
Oh my gosh.
Tell you why after.
I thought you said you was gonna take it out and tell us after.
Well, because I...
Why are we gonna leave?
I just look at it as somebody could be, two houses could be 10 feet apart. You could have a television on, they could say, I want it off.
But that becomes the enforcement part.
Yeah, yeah.
If you call and complain, the RC and pretty violent enforcement are gonna go visit to say it's not unreasonable, thank you very much, have a nice day.
Yeah.
But if you're blasting it very loud, that your window's open, and there's no reason for you to blast it, there's no reason why you can't enjoy your TV in your own house without turning it up full blast, and if you are hearing impaired, then you close the windows or something like that. It goes back to common sense. Enforcement's gonna be common sense too.
Yeah, hopefully.
So what did I say? Take it out, leave it in. I guess I said...
So, hey, I, so Carl said no, I said no, Jack said no. No, within, like, don't keep it there, right?
Nope, I wanna leave it in.
Oh, you wanted to leave it in, sorry, I misunderstood, thank you.
So the decision was to...
Leave it in.
Well...
Move on, you're gonna change your mind again.
The operation of any refrigeration unit which is attached to a refrigeration trailer, unless the refrigeration trailer is in motion, excepting for the exemption that if it's parked on the commercial property of the owner.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There. So we are back to the motion. Having given direction to staff. Any other comments on the motion? Counselor Fancy?
It still just concerns me, because back down to Kellyanne, of how if all of a sudden we don't even see all the variables that's gonna come through here, somebody's gonna call up about this or call up about that. She's gonna be running over here to check on the noise level here or this or there. Now, that's my concern about where is this going to, if it's gonna fall onto her with what she has already.
Counselor Romero?
And my concern is the same as Jack's as well, and most of this happens on the weekend, so she's usually not available.
I don't think we should limit ourselves to our current, bylaw position, because as council, you can always, you know, this bylaw is, if it's enforced, is now and next year and next year and next year until it's been removed, and who knows what those things will. So I think we need not to think current, but just to think of what this is saying. Even if we had 10 bylaw officers, does this make sense?
If I may, what we have to remember is, whether it's our staff or the RCMP, we're only going to enforce this for the most egregious contraventions of the bylaw. So if someone's got their TV up loud, we're going to say thank you very much. And if there's some time in the future we have some free time, we'll go talk to the homeowner. That's probably not going to happen right there. If someone is mowing their lawn at 10:30, past 10 o'clock, we're probably going to say thank you very much. I'll talk to that person next week or tomorrow and ask them how to do it again. But we're not going to send somebody out, the RCMP or our staff, to deal with that right then. So these would, and so the time we would give tickets or be some type of enforcement would be the most serious offenses, where it's persistent, constant, repeat offender, and where there's multiple people complaining in the community as opposed to just one person. So you have to keep that in mind. And that's the process, the standard we use for all of our bylaw enforcement.
Counselor Fancy?
No, I just go back to the one thing I said right from the start. I just don't feel comfortable about putting this onto a position, so to speak, right now, because, like I said, we're not going to be going out saying somebody's mowing at 10, 5 after 10, or starting to mow the lawn 6:30 in the morning, or something like that. We're not going to be, but the barrage of phone calls we get from this, which would add to it, is I just don't think we're set up for it for the personnel we have right now.
Any other comments? Deputy Mayor Munoz, you take the floor for a moment? Or take the...
Yep.
I've had great difficulty with this bylaw. Its roots came from an unfortunate situation of a community that's having difficulty. And I find it very hard to support a bylaw, and why we may say now that we will not enforce it unless it's egregious circumstances. We're not always going to be here. And this is a law on paper. And I have great difficulty enforcing a bylaw that does not state anywheres that we're only going to do it when it's really, really bad. I've lived in a lot of communities in Queens. There are a lot of people that don't get along from time to time. And this is something that certainly can give fuel to fire. And I'm not supporting this.
David,
I think the problem that we have with where we've gotten to where we are with the particular case you were talking about is that our current bylaws don't have any rules and regulations to stop. This gives the police or our bylaw enforcement a reason to talk to people. It was unenforceable to stop these things. I think it got out of hand. This may not work. I know Halifax, if you look at their bylaws, they've modified theirs about 7 or 8 times as they found things that didn't work. I don't think anything is perfect. I think we have to make the first steps to making something that people can talk to their neighbors to stop a problem, give them something to work with, give our enforcement people, RCMP bylaw, something to work with so that they can talk to neighbors and give them a reason to stop. Because right now they don't have that, and I think this is the steps in that direction. And there may be some teething pains, but I think in the long run it can heal the divisions, because there are some teeth to stop the most, the worst cases that are happening.
Anyone else? So I guess we have to vote on the recommendation. And the recommendation was that the move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give first reading to a bylaw respecting noise. All those in favor? Opposed? Passed.
All right. Moving right along. 10.0 Engineering Public Works, nothing to report. 11.0 Dangerous on Site with Premises, nothing to report. 12.0 Recreation Healthy Communities, Community Investment Fund, 12.1 Recommendation. And Amen Megan, there may be some questions I anticipate. Please.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy 41. Oops, I think I'm reading the wrong one.
You're ahead of yourself.
You want to get out of here.
Yeah, all the recommendations. All right.
Yeah, you have to read them all.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Brookfield Field Blinds Trail Association in the amount of $20,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund. Good.
Right, one at a time.
I agree.
Seconded by Councillor Fox. District this is. Any questions? If not, I'll ask for approval of the motion or vote on the motion. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Next motion.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to the Community Food Resources Network in the amount of $10,000 from the 2021 to 2022 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by Councillor Charlton. Are there any questions of our staff regarding their decision or their recommendation? Hearing none, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Read the next one. Councillor Brown.
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Friends of Hank Snow Society in the amount of $10,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by Councillor Fancy. Any questions on the Friends of Hank Snow Society request? Now I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Passed. Baseball Club. Councilor Romero.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to the Liverpool Baseball Club in the amount of $5,300 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by Councilor Hawks. Do they have an explanation of variance between their request and the amount?
So the request was for $6,500. However, their eligible project costs were only $10,600, and the Community Investment Fund provides for up to 50% for capital. So that is why it is $5,300.
It's right there. Any other questions? Ask for the question. All those in favor? Board of Trade, Mr. Fox.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens provide grant funding to North Queens Board of Trade in the amount of $10,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by
Mr.
Fancy. Questions? All those in favor? Passed. Queens County Fair Association. Councillor Hawks.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Queens County Fair Association in the in the amount of $10,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Questions? Councilor Romero.
What happens if they do not operate the fair this year?
So this is for the Queens County Fair Association. This isn't specific to the Queens County Fair.
It's not specific to what?
If it was specific to the fair, it would be under the events investment fund.
Okay.
And they still have operational costs to meet.
They currently have operational costs.
Okay.
So the events is different than like the ball field?
The ball field is for capital.
So the events, I can get pretty well all the money they ask for?
No, events, it's different for their, whatever their budget is, so I think whatever I get. Alright, so for events for budgets that exceed $300,000, I can get up to 10% on eligible costs. For budgets from $150,000 to $299,999, is again 10% for eligible costs. From $20,000 to $150,000, it's 12.5% for eligible costs. And for events where the budget is up to $20,000, it's 20% for eligible costs.
Those are events. She read that from a separate section.
Yeah, that's
on
straight
the
from the policy.
These are all capital funding requests.
So some of them are capital and some of them are operational requests.
Did we vote on the Queens Fair Association?
Yep.
All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Seaside. Recommendation for Seaside. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to Seaside Recreation and Community Center Association in the amount of $5,000 from the 2021-2022 Community Investment.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. We heard comments from the gallery respecting reasoning for the request to be changed. Does staff have any comment to make on that?
So they requested $10,460 in funding. Policy sets out operational requests. They're only available up to $10,000. Their request was very specific in its operational funding request, and the recommendation is less than what they requested because they're projecting a very small surplus, but they're still projecting a surplus, and the surplus is projected without any grant funding from the Regional Teams. So that combined with modest bank account balance, we're recommending that they get $5,000 in funding.
Councilor Romero.
I have to disagree with that. It is a reflection of their surplus, but this is with what they presume or hope to presume donations, which we all know we're not sure how that's going to turn out. And also, it wasn't their total year end. I mean, their year end ended in March or April. And as we can see, they don't have much money in their account to run that large building. And I think that they actually should be able to have the other $5,000.
Any other comments?
So just, if I may clarify. So we use the same lens for everybody. And so we ask for their most recent audited financial statements. And so whatever the most recent audited financial statements would be, that's the one we use. So we're comparing apples to apples. In this particular case, the request is, as staff have said, they're showing a surplus without any municipal funding. So if their financial statement holds true, their donation, of course, is only $3,000, which isn't very much, then the funding we'll be giving them will simply go into their reserve. And so the purpose of this program, when it was initially set up, originally the old Grants to Organizations program gave the same amount of money to the same organizations every year, whether they needed it or not. And the new program was purposely built as a very generous program to not fund organizations to put in reserves. It's to fund the need, the present need. So we've rejected many organizations, many requests in the past completely because they have substantial reserves in the bank, they have substantial money in the bank. And so while I understand that they've had some expenses during the year, we're comparing to apples for all the applications. And so we just, I caution you to be careful that if we say, well, they've incurred some expenses already this year, all of the applicants could come forward and say they want additional funding because they've incurred additional expenses during the year, not reflecting what the whole 12 months of expenses and revenue is going to be. So if we open up that can of worms this evening, we'll be opening up that can of worms to every application that comes forward going forward in the future.
Councilor Charlton?
The deadline for this operational grant was sometime in January.
January, yes.
Right, so you have to have financials by the end of January, and now we're in April, which will coincide with that.
And I believe what our CEO was stating is the rule has always been, and you go by the budgets and the numbers that are provided at the time of the due date. A lot of financial matters change for different groups after the due date, but the due date is what we use to determine the basis of funding. And if we allow and change for one organization, then we're going to basically allow these other organizations to re-examine their financial statements, and if they've incurred things that they haven't expected, then we do for one, we open them all up.
And it's not to suggest that they don't need the money, it's not to suggest that they're not a positive organization doing good work in the community, it's simply a staff, we need to follow the policy, and so the recommendation follows the policy. Council wishes to deviate from the policy, then that's fine. The staff will implement that. Just caution you that if you do it for one, then you're then the policy then becomes open for other people to ask for deviation as well.
Any other questions? Councilor Charlton?
Dana or Megan, are there other opportunities for Seaside that haven't been explored yet for the remainder of the year? Is this the only thing that they would be eligible?
So under the policy, it states that once you've received over $1,000, you can apply again. Under the policy, you can only receive up to $1,000 if eligible.
Any other comments? Councilor Fancy?
It's like coming into the middle of this, so it's kind of hard to, it's like I'm looking at things and I'm still trying to understand. It's when this, when everything was put in January, it was showing forth that they were balancing the budget, but now they're not balancing the budget after the period of time. Is this what we're trying to say? I'm trying to envision this, what we're actually looking at.
So do you want to explain what the budget looked like that was presented to you in January, what the surplus was?
The proposed budget for 2021-2022 is showing a small surplus.
Okay.
Without the grant funding.
Right.
So the grant funding, according to the budget provided in January, will provide them with $5,000 in the bank at the end of their year, if everything goes according to budget.
So what could have they done differently? Could it have been they didn't write it right? Or I'm just trying to figure out how they could have got them. It could have been different because they're coming in with money that they're gonna have to need to survive the year, and they're not going to do it. So how could have they done it? I'm just thinking, is there any way of writing it differently or doing things differently? Just trying to ask the question.
All right, in their budget, they know their business, their community center, what their average costs are.
Right.
And they laid it all in the budget as to what their revenues were and what their expenses were.
Okay.
So, no, I don't think they could have presented it in any different way.
Okay.
Unless they knew at the time they were incurring more expenses than their revenue was.
Right.
Because that's what groups
do,
they show more expenditure than they have revenue.
So if you look tonight, what Ms. Cross gave you, so that the funding is based on the fiscal year we're in starting now, so April 1st, not the past year, but the current year. So what you received tonight shows a surplus at the end of the year of $1,000 without any municipal money.
Right.
So if we contribute $5,000 tonight, which is the recommendation,
right,
and they operate as normal, then they'll have $6,000 surplus at the end of the year, which is going to go into the reserve. If we give them $10,000 and they operate normally, that's shown on the bank statement here, they'll put $11,000 in the reserve.
Okay.
And so if they need the money, the purpose of the community investment fund is for organizations that need the money. And so the staff recommendation is, I think, is very generous in the fact that we're giving $5,000, because their statement doesn't show they need any money. It shows they're sustainable now.
Mm-hmm.
For the current year, based on their budget that's presented. Now, in future years, if they have other projects or other initiatives, then they can apply to the capital program, they can apply to the operating program, whatever best fits them, to fund those additional initiatives. But what's been presented to staff doesn't show those additional initiatives. It shows they're already paying their bills without any municipal money. Plus, they have some money in the bank, which they've noted, but they've obviously spent some because they had some expenses they had to incur to pay some bills.
So along with that, if you knew that you were going to have to put in something that's going to cost you $5,000, you could say, well, hey, my balance is here, but we're going to have to spend out $5,000 this year extra, even though it's not showing on my operational budget right now that I'm going to be out that much, though I haven't paid it out yet. It's going to, and that would affect.
Well, on their proposed budget for the next year, if you say they were applying to us for operating,
right,
and they had a capital project, that would show in their budget as as an expense.
Okay.
And so that would be reflective.
Okay.
There's other organizations, for example, that part of their budget is we're asking you for money for operating, we'll say,
right,
but they're also doing a capital project, but it shows up in the expense portion under, you know, equipment or maintenance,
right,
or whatever it is that they're doing. So that would show up as part of their budget.
Okay.
So when people are submitting their budgets to us, that would be part of an accurate budget for the upcoming year to say we're doing this project during this fiscal year.
We're going to be putting a heat pump in,
right,
and it's going to be $7,000, and that's, though,
right,
though it's not showing yet, we haven't bought it yet, but that's going to be part of what we're going
to
do.
Because they would have to budget,
yeah,
for it for,
right,
that coming year.
Any other questions? If not, I'll call for the motion. All those in favor of the motion as presented? Passed. 12.2, photocopying services for community organizations. As has been discussed previously, when we were discussing the difference in the job realignments, this discussion did happen, and now there is a recommendation. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I'll read this one. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy 41 to photocopying the services for community organizations.
Seconded by Councillor Charlton. And you read your background information in the suggested new policy. You'll notice that we're still keeping 1,000 copies. The location of getting those copies is now moved to Queen's Place. It's a much better facility in terms of the fact that it's open with much better hours. It's open weekend hours. Requests can be processed sooner. It clearly stipulates that the photocopies are for the named association only. So you cannot say, I own the association, I'm part of Association C, but we're not going to use our photocopies, so we're going to give them off to Association A. These are per association 1,000. And because we now live in the day and age of computer-generated programming and lots of people with great capacity to create their own tickets, to create their own posters, we'll no longer be doing that, nor will we continue to cut and staple together tickets. We will continue to print raffle tickets and such like that, but our staff will not be cutting them and stapling them, which is quite time-consuming for staff and how generous they were in the past that this region has been doing that. I think that's about all.
Yeah, and I guess the other note would just be, so any of the posters or ticket templates that Dana's created in the past, organizations can certainly contact us. We'll send them those templates. And hopefully they can use them and just input their new information on them. But we certainly have no issue doing that. There might be the odd scenario where the program we use isn't one that they have, but they can certainly use it as a template to put it into a new poster or tickets or whatever it is that they need to do. Yeah.
Any questions or comments? Councilor Brown?
I think this looks like a really good streamlining of operations, and it makes more sense to do it this way. Better use of our resources.
Much better use. Any other comments? Not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary?